Last month, a 27-year-old woman died in Seattle. Her name was Sabrina Tate. The Seattle Times reported she was living in an RV in a city-sanctioned safe lot in the Soto neighborhood. She moved here from Spokane 7 years ago. Sabrina was homeless and addicted to heroin. The cause of her death isn't fully known yet, but she had developed an infection in her legs from years of drug use. In 2013, Sabrina was profiled for the YouTube series Invisible People.
I left my hometown to see, you know, because I wanted to explore what else was around, what else was out there, you know, and try my luck in a bigger city. But along with the big city came, and meeting new people came, the curiosity to try new things. I'm a heroin addict.
She was our baby.
That's Sabrina's mother, Kelly Sevier.
She was a happy little girl, the youngest of three sisters. And she was always full of spunk. She loved animals. She loved music. She played the violin. She loved the grunge rock as she got older. She was just really affectionate. She loved her family.
When Sabrina got to high school, she had trouble fitting in. And according to Kelly, she fell in with a group of kids who were not the best influence. She started using drugs. Her father, Tommy Tate, says 16 was a critical year for Sabrina, and the family was unable to break through to her.
She had discovered she'd been experimenting with meth at the time and had a family intervention, just trying to talk to her and understand, try to kind of understand why she was doing the things she was at the time. You know, was she hurting? Was there any pain that we didn't know about? But even in that conversation, it was, I could see then, and I can still see it looking back now, that you know, that moment, I think, when she was 16 was probably our best chance as a family to change, you know, what her future would be. And as it turned out, that wasn't to be.
For a time, Sabrina was homeless in Spokane. Eventually, she moved to Seattle. After a few years, she became addicted to heroin. Her mother, Kelly, says she tried to reach out and help Sabrina, but it wasn't easy.
While she was in Seattle, within the last, I'd say, 5 years, she did go through the methadone program, and for a while that worked out pretty well for her. A lot of the time while she was living over in Seattle, I honestly did not know where she was or how to even reach her, which made it really difficult to offer any type of assistance. Once she got a little more stable, she did have a phone, and I did hear from her, not real often, but fairly regularly. I always told her that she could come back home, but she had to be willing to be in treatment first. She would tell me that, oh no, Mom, I can do this myself. You know, I'm fine. I have friends here. I want to stay in Seattle.
A few months ago, Sabrina returned to Spokane for her grandmother's funeral. During that visit, Kelly says Sabrina was hopeful about the future.
She said that she had a caseworker that was working with her to get her into a tiny house over in Seattle. And she was very excited about that. She also was going to, she told me she was going to talk to her caseworker about possibly coming over to Spokane and going through a treatment program here in Spokane. And when I took her back to catch the bus, she told me, when she hugged me, she said, Mama, don't cry. She said, don't worry, I'll be back soon. That's the last time I saw her.
Sabrina Tate died on April 5th, 3 weeks before her 28th birthday. After Kelly and Tommy got the news, they came to Seattle, and they went inside the RV in the safe lot where Sabrina died.
When we got in there, it had been trashed, blankets everywhere. The roof was dripping water. There were flies buzzing around. There was rotting food. I remember a a bunch of bananas on the counter across from where her bed was that were so rotted, they were almost gone, but you could still tell that they were bananas. And there was so much stuff in there. If all of that stuff was in there when she died, and I'm sure it was, it was still no place for somebody to live, even if they're healthy. Whether somebody was with her or around that time, or she died alone, it was just heartbreaking. And obviously, you know, I've said this before, but it's no place for anyone to live. And obviously, it was not the picture that Sabrina had painted for both her mother and me.
Kelly says her daughter's death has fundamentally changed the way she views homelessness.
This can happen to anyone, whether it be through addiction, whether it be through loss of employment. Homelessness can happen to anyone. A lot of people look down upon people that they see, whether they're standing on a corner holding a sign up or sleeping on a sidewalk, and treat people as less than they are. And just this world needs to see, really see that, you know, we have people that are our brothers and our sisters that sometimes can't take care of themselves and they need help.
Before we ended the conversation, I asked Tommy what else he wanted people to know about his daughter.
She had a boldness about her. She was shy, yes, but she was also fierce and determined. You know, I'm twice the age that Sabrina was when she passed away, but I've already told Kelly this. You know, Sabrina lived twice the life that I ever will, and I'm just really proud of her for that, as much as it hurts.
That was Tommy Tate and Kelly Sevier, parents of Sabrina Tate. She died in Seattle on April 5th, 2018. She was 27 years old. It's been 2.5 years since Seattle and King County declared a homeless state of emergency. Since then, the homeless population has continued to grow. At last count, 11,643 people were experiencing homelessness in King County. This is KUOW. I'm Kim Malcolm. The story was produced by Andy Hurst.